welcome to episode 234 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna, Lindsay, Laura, and Sandy. And in this episode, we'd like to introduce you, sort of introduce you, to a new member of the podcast team, George. George has been on the podcast before as a guest. He is a travel agent with 5 years' experience who has recently joined the Outlander team. Yay! We're all so happy. When he was younger, his family took a traditional summer vacation, driving across America, towing an RV. They traveled across most of the eastern United States and Canada. For his 25th wedding anniversary, fast forward several years, George and his wife took their first cruise, and that's when the travel bug started. As a travel agent, George is taking Caribbean and Canadian cruises and will experience his first Alaskan cruise in June. He's also become a big fan of all-inclusive resorts, which has become his niche for booking travel. He's also a lifelong Disney fan, so he fits right in here, and visits the parks as often as possible. He made his first visit to Disneyland last year as part of an Adventures by Disney Backstage Magic Tour. He's with us today, so let's get started. Welcome, George.
Thanks, ladies. Glad to be here.
Yay!
So let's just talk about Disneyland, shall we? Since we just brought it up. So how was that experience? I'd love to hear, did you have a chance to go to Disneyland after the tour was over, or did you only experience it through the eyes of Adventures by Disney?
No, so I extended one extra day.
Okay.
They were nice enough to allow you to do that and still get transportation back to the airport. So yeah, I extended one full day. So it was nice to be able to just get see the parks outside of the tour and the tour guides. And if you're a Disney fan, you have to go to Disneyland once.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's kind of the difference between like the Adventures by Disney? Is that the same as doing like a VIP tour there, or was it separate or different?
So it was a 6-day tour, and it actually started in Hollywood, and we got to see things like Griffith Park. They opened up the carousel just for our group, so we got to ride the carousel where Walt sat with his daughters and kind of dreamed up the whole Disneyland. We went to the Chinese Theater in a private tour, got to see some extra movie clips, and what else did we do? There was a whole bunch of things. We went to the Jim Henson Muppet Studios and got a tour of the actual studio, got to interact with some actual Muppets, and if you're an old-time Disney fan and you remember the Dark Crystal movie, they had props from that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Farscape. Yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty cool.
That's Henson Studios.
It is.
I didn't realize.
It's not where you'd expect it to be. It's right in downtown Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah. You would never know driving by it that it was a movie studio inside.
Yeah. I think I've driven by it. Isn't there like a Pink's hot dog place nearby?
Could be. We were in the shuttle bus, and we got lucky because it was kind of off season, so there were only 14 people on the tour.
Oh, that's amazing.
I didn't know this tour was 6 days. I thought this was one of those mini.
There's two versions. There's the long one, and then there's a getaway. Yeah.
Yep, the short one just does Disneyland and doesn't do the extra stuff. So that was really worthwhile.
So you
seeing the other things.
And you did an adult only departure, right?
No, we didn't, but it was just that time of the year. There was only one couple brought their daughter who was maybe 14. But she was the only one that was an adult.
Okay. I imagine that nobody was an adult on parts of this trip. I mean, it must be like a bunch of Disney fans just going, squee!
Yeah, right.
So
that's like the super fan tour.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, the highlight for us really was getting to see Walt's apartment over the firehouse.
Yeah.
At Disneyland. That was pretty good. And all the backstage stuff they take you on behind the scenes on some of the attractions. You get to meet with the Imagineers and see how they build and maintain the rides. So, yeah, it was cool.
And how many times did you ride the Matterhorn?
That was closed. So no.
Oh, no. So now you have to go back.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Matterhorn was closed. Haunted Mansion was closed for the Halloween overlay.
Oh.
And World of Color was down.
Oh, yeah. You were there, like, right before Lindsay and I went, I think. We went in August last year.
Well, we were there
the last, like, the 23rd of August.
Okay,
yeah,
so you
it was
went
right at the end.
Gosh, we were like,
yep.
We just missed you.
Yeah, we practically passed each other.
Wow.
Yeah, it was that close.
Yeah, I remember seeing your pictures and stuff, but for some reason I didn't realize you were on that long of an Adventures by Disney thing. That's awesome.
But you didn't miss nothing with the Matterhorn, though, because that's terrifying. Like,
I love the Matterhorn.
I love it.
I'm just going to give it a try.
In the world.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, everybody has to ride it once.
Yeah.
I mean, you really do. So you do have to go back, yeah.
I think you need to ride it at night.
So can you talk a little bit about the different, like, so you went with, I'm sorry, I'm going to say like one more time and then Sandy's going to hit me, and you have my permission to do so. So you did a day at Disneyland with Adventures by Disney and then one without. Did you actually do attractions while you were with Adventures by Disney?
So yeah, we did, trying to remember, we got there, I think it was on a Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon. So we had the night in the park, we had the Welcome to Disneyland dinner. Then we had some attractions. They fast passed us into Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. We watched.
They don't have
Seven
Dwarfs Mine Train.
They have Seven Dwarfs.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it was the other one.
I was like, what did I miss?
Sorry. Yeah, big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Okay.
And then we had VIP viewing for Fantasmic, and that was that night.
Nice.
And then the next morning we got in extra early into Disneyland and actually got to meet with the Disney ambassadors. Oh. You're familiar with them?
Yes. But talk about it a little bit.
Yep. So way back when Walt decided he needed some ambassadors for Disneyland, and I'm trying to remember, it was Julie Ream, I think, was the first Disney ambassador. And she was kind of where they started the plaids from. That was her outfit.
Oh.
And her idea was basically she met with people and was the face of Disneyland, because Walt was busy doing other things. And since then, they've carried that tradition along. And one of them, this year's ambassador was, well, technically it was last year's, was Mikey. And he was there in the morning to greet us. And we got some pictures with him and told us a little bit about what he does. And it was pretty interesting. I'd never really even thought about that. It was even still in effect.
So do they choose a cast member for that now?
Yes, it's a cast member. Okay. Yep. It's usually two at this point, at least for Disneyland.
So that's,
they run, I believe it's a 1-year term.
So that's for everybody there, not just for Adventures by Disney people? I mean,
ambassador? Strictly it's related to Disneyland. So they're a Disneyland ambassador. There's two of them. And I believe Disney World has them as well.
So are they like one time when I went to Disneyland with my family, we had breakfast reservations before the park opened, and somebody from the front gate like walked us back and pointed out the apartment and showed us things. Is that, would that have been the ambassador?
It might have been.
I mean, they were in the plaid.
That was probably just a VIP guide. He didn't actually wear plaids. He was in a regular suit.
Oh, interesting.
He had I'm trying to think if I have a picture of it. Maybe I can find it. We can post it. He had a very interesting name badge. That was different than the standard cast member badge.
What are some of the things he did? He does.
You're going to pick my brain from last August. it was more public relations type stuff. So I'm trying to think where else I've seen him. I've seen them in some videos online, mostly PR stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they? They're the ones that travel and
they do
throughout the world.
Yep.
Places.
Very cool. All right. Well, we're not going to talk about Disneyland.
How do I get that
all right.
job? You need to be a cast member, first of all. And you have a job.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, so you know, you had this sort of long period of time, it seems, where you didn't travel very much, which is sad. But so then what made you say after you took that cruise, what made you say, I'm not just going to become a traveler, but I'm going to start selling travel?
Yeah, so our first cruise happened to be on the Carnival Breeze. So we had booked it about a year and a half in advance. So I had a long time to plan. probably too much time. So I can't tell you how much time I spent going through Cruise Critic and every other site looking for pictures of the ship as she progressed along in her build and everything to do with excursions. And way too much time reading Cruise Critic reviews. So by the time I got to the ship, I actually had a ton of fun just planning the whole thing. I had a whole notebook with printouts of every conversation I had with all the shore excursion people and blueprints of everything I could think of. And I probably really overplanned it.
It does sound like it. As a professional, I'm telling you. Yeah.
Everything was laminated. A little crazy.
A little obsessive.
And so I had gone kind of with another group, and they had sat us all together at a big table, and we got talking, and one of the ladies at the table was a part-time travel agent. And I said, oh, that's kind of cool. How does that work? And she told me about host agencies and how it worked, and I went, okay. And got home, and 2 weeks later, I was signed up and didn't really have any clue what I was doing.
This sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Right, Sandy? So
decided when I first started, I better stick to cruises because that was about all I knew. And probably for the first year, that's all I did was go through the different training programs that the cruise lines offer and take the training and booked a couple of small cruises for friends and kind of grew from there.
So then I think it's a pretty easy transition to all inclusives, but how did that happen?
Oh, yeah. So actually, you know what it was? It was a fam.
Was it the fam?
It was the fam.
The fam where I met George. So you had not been to an AI before that? You hadn't been to an all-inclusive?
No.
Oh, that was a nice fam to start with. That was such a great fam, too, because they took us all. They took us all over Jamaica, really. I mean, the only place we didn't go was Negril. We didn't. There were a lot of places in Jamaica we didn't go. Sorry, Jamaicans that are listening to this. But, we hit the big ones. We went to Montego Bay and Ocho Rios and South Coast. So, yeah, we really covered the island pretty well.
So everywhere Sandals is except Negril.
Except Negril, yeah. And honestly, I don't think we could have done Negril with the distance there. That was a lot of moving around anyway, so.
It took us four hours in January to get from Ocho Rios to Negril.
Yeah.
That was a long
time. How long was that one? Because when I did the first time I went there, I did all of them in 7 nights.
It was a 6-night fam.
Yeah, it was like Sunday to Thursday.
Mm-hmm, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And we got to see beaches too, which was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except for beaches in Negril. But
right.
If it was in Negril, we did not see it. But we saw everything, literally everything else, including the Sandals Inn and the we didn't actually go to the Grand Pineapple. They talked about it. We didn't.
No,
do that.
Grand Pineapple's in Negril.
Oh, that's why. Okay. There you go. Told you we didn't go. So then after Sandals, what are your favorite all inclusive brands? Where have you been since then?
So since then, I did a fam to the Dominican. So actually, so far, all of my personal AI travel has been to the DR and the Punta Cana area. And actually, they've all been at Majestic Resorts.
Oh. So why Majestic? What's the...
For me, some of the resorts just didn't have that tropical feel. I mean, when I go to an AI in the Caribbean, I want it to be palm trees and coconuts and flowers and that kind of stuff. And some of the resorts didn't really fit that, but the Majestics all did. And for me, one of the great things is they don't have timeshares.
Yeah.
So you never have to worry about the timeshare pitch, where I hear some of the other brands can be pretty relentless.
They can.
So I haven't been to a Majestic. Is like, how many stars is that? What kind of level of service? What would you say?
So they have three resorts side by side. Majestic Colonial, Majestic Elegance, and now Majestic Mirage. So, and they kind of go in that order. So Colonial was their first one. It's what I call their family-friendly resort. They have a little water park for kids. They have a Caribbean street with local vendors. They have the casinos there, the nightclubs down there. And then they built Elegance, which is a little bit nicer. Little more, save your party crowd. Young adults, you know, mid-20s, that kind of age. And then Mirage is actually an all-suite resort, all-suite, all-butler. Huh. Although I'd say it's closer to all-concierge than all-butler if you compare it to something like Sandals. So they have quite a few rooms. They don't have phones where you can call them up and come and stop by and ask for something. But it's pretty close, and being all-suite's really nice because the rooms are 1,000 square feet.
Yeah.
So they're pretty large.
I sent a little girls group there. A little girls. A small girls group. They're not little girls. It was a 50th birthday party. They're big girls. But there were three of them, and they were able to share a room comfortably. And these are not, you know, these girls are like me. They like their space. They like their privacy. Out. They like to stretch out. So, they were able to share a room very comfortably. They had a great time.
And this is Punta Cana?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at Mirage?
It was at Mirage, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense, because we took our daughter there last time, and Mirage, actually, the bedroom bathroom is broken off from the living area that actually has a separate bathroom.
Oh, that's nice.
So if you're going with kids, it's really like having two separate rooms that are kind of adjoined. So other than the one shower, she slept out in the room. They brought a rollaway bed in. She had her own bathroom. So it worked out really well.
Excellent.
That's really cool.
Whereas that's one of the things I think we struggle with AIs and families is even though they have two queen beds, trying to find a room with a bathroom that's not wide open.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little difficult.
You know, another thing is if you have a family of five.
Yeah.
That is a struggle.
No,
too.
I don't.
Many.
Yeah. You should have stopped while you could.
I'm pregnant twice. I mean, I've had a couple at one time. Yeah. It's
like competitions throughout the year. Whoever does their chores the best.
Mm-hmm. Gets to go.
Little lottery to come and take four.
They're so big now, they need their own room. Well, Fox is an adult now, so. Yeah.
So we have a couple of questions that we always ask our newbies. Yeah, so one is, what is your best, most favorite travel memory? So from all of your life, your very short, young life, what's the trip that you remember the most is like building that love of travel for you?
Have you ever been to Pittsburgh?
I have never been to Pittsburgh, but I'd love to go to Pimenti Brothers and get a nice sandwich with fries on it.
Now I can get behind liking a city for food. I just can't get behind liking Pittsburgh.
You don't have to go to Pittsburgh to get Pimenti Brothers. They have a couple of other locations in Pennsylvania.
Well, actually, they have it in Fort Lauderdale.
They're a franchise. I know. I was like, somebody should open one in Raleigh. I need to like think about that.
And if we mention them one more time on this podcast, we need to.
Yeah. We have in no way been endorsed by. Yes, that's true. Okay, George, sorry. We gave
right,
you time to think.
Okay. So I wouldn't say it was the one that generated my love for travel, but the Adventures by Disney Backstage Magic was just amazing.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Walt Disney, and we're not just a fan of Disney as in the Disney company, but we were big fans of Walt and have seen all the biographies and that kind of stuff and just are amazed at what he managed to do after basically crashing out so many times. Yeah, that was the best one, getting to see just everything about his life. And I mean, who gets to go to the Imagineering building and get to see the frozen land that they're building in Hong Kong?
I think that's awesome too. Going back to like the stumbling things that came up for him, you know, like the times that he did fail and got back up and did it. That's so inspirational.
I was actually just talking to my eldest about this because he's an artist and, he's sort of trying to go on to some of these sites like Etsy or whatever and sell some art on t-shirts and things. And I was like, you gotta protect yourself. You really need to make sure that you're protecting yourself. And we brought up Oswald, actually. I mean, that was sort of a life lesson right there. I was like, this is important. And obviously, Walt Disney was able to bounce back. He did okay. But at the time, I'm pretty sure, you know, and you should learn from that lesson. So we should do a whole episode on how Walt Disney affected our lives, because I'm sure, I'm sure there are some in the room who might not be able to say that, but I know I can. Yeah. I mean,
and the big thing with the writers, or actually it was artist strike that really changed the Disney company a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't think he was going to come back from that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that hurt him pretty bad. That hurt him.
Yeah.
But it also revolutionized the industry, which is really something as well. I mean, a lot of what we know about how art is bought and sold today is how commercial art anyway is. I mean, a lot of it has roots in the Walt Disney Company. So
For better or worse.
Over at the Disney archives, they actually had the camera, the multi-layer camera that they used.
Multi-feed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, with the different cells that focused on different areas. So, yeah, that was pretty cool to see that as well.
Going to the museum and seeing.
Yeah.
That was so cool to see that and go through everything. What's a bucket list travel goal?
You can't say Alaska because you're going. So you have to think beyond that.
Panama Canal Cruise.
Oh,
there you go.
I want to do the full one, the repositioning from usually, I guess, from Fort Lauderdale to Long Beach or something like that. I don't want to just go through and turn around and come back. I want the one that goes all the way up the coast of Mexico.
So what is the appeal to that? Is it the engineering behind, I mean, for a guy who carried the blueprints onto his first cruise, is it the locks and the engineering or is it the destinations? What's the draw there?
Yeah, I guess it's just the experience of the locks and the technology and being able to move through and watch how everything happens. Yeah.
I canoed through the Erie Canal, so I can...
Did you just say the ear canal?
You know, 15 miles on the Erie Canal. Don't you remember singing that on the fourth in the fourth grade?
No.
For our time.
I actually
rub it in.
I actually know that one. So yeah.
So I have a few. Yeah, Panama Canal. I would love to go to New Zealand and visit the Hobbit area.
Oh yeah.
But, Shire. I got so many. Christmas market, river cruise.
Are you interested in the Galapagos? That's one of my newer ones.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, in a past life, I was a photographer. So yeah, anything
with
great nature photography options and stuff. That's one of the reasons we're doing Alaska.
Uh-huh. You're going to love it.
You really are going to love it because some of the pictures and some of the landscapes are just out of this world.
It's immense. I got some of the cutest otter pictures when I was there last time. So cute. Yeah.
So who are you doing Alaska with?
So actually I formed a group. I'm lucky enough to work in a decent sized company and I have a lot of fellow employees that like to travel. So
you're taking the whole company?
Unfortunately not.
That would be great.
It still work? You're at the whole company right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd go over really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I got four, five friends going, people from work and a local friend. So about five cabins, I think.
Nice.
So yeah, it should be pretty fun. We decided, you know, we've been kicking around Alaska for a while. And then when Royal Caribbean announced that Ovation of the Seas was going to be there,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, the North Star, wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, that would be. That's a round trip, right?
Yep.
Seattle up and back. So Skagway and Juneau.
Okay. I'll be curious. We will definitely do a podcast on that after you get back because I'll be curious about that big ship experience in Alaska. You know, Norwegian is doing that too now with their big ships. And
they got two of them there.
It seems a little odd to me. I'm not going to lie. But people are loving it, you know, but it just seems strange.
Well, the Princess ships are like 3,500, you know what I mean?
I guess that's true.
They're pretty big. So.
Yeah. Whenever I think I was on the Norwegian Pearl. The second time I did a cruise, the first time I did a cruise, I was on the Regent Rainbow, which doesn't exist anymore, partially because I was supposed to be on the Regent Sun, which caught fire the week before I was supposed to be on it. So they rescheduled us onto the Rainbow, which was their larger ship, but they never survived that. You know, that was back in the day when there were 8 million cruise lines and, they all got sort of absorbed. They had three ships and...
That was before my time, and I don't remember. I mean, cruising was not on my radar at that time.
Yeah, it was a very long time ago. I was...
I mean, you must have been really old.
I was... Sandy may not be on the next podcast. She may be nursing her injuries.
As big of a fan as I am of small ship cruising, I really do have, you know, that the bigger ships do have a good place in the market up here. You got to remember that I'm in the Pacific Northwest,
mm-hmm.
and for us, Alaska's kind of like a Caribbean cruise.
Mm-hmm.
They go every other year to go back different ways and go see it a different – everything. Every trip to Alaska is a new trip.
Yeah.
You never know. The animals, you can't schedule that meet and greet with the otter.
The only reason why I'm sort of surprised by it is it seems like a lot of those outdoor activities that those large ships have, the pools, the water slides, the, you know, zip lines, it would be harder to do that in Alaska. It's chilly.
Yeah, I think, I watched a video that somebody just did on why Ovation he thinks is going to be the best ship to be up there this year. And I think it was because the pools have the retractable roof.
Yeah.
The North Star.
Yes. The iFly is on that one too, right?
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I'll be interested. I think you have here, this is a homework assignment. you need to buy the thermal spa pass because Lindsay and I thought that was one of the best things we did on the Holland America.
Really?
That's
the Bliss has an amazing thermal spa. They have a whole video on it, the Norwegian Bliss. So, I think that's a big thing in Alaska.
George, are you a spa guy?
I have never been to the spa anywhere.
Yeah, but I'm not either. I've never had a massage. But the thermal spa was... Quit looking at me like that. The thermal spa was amazing. Trust me. It's not like having people touch you.
You have to understand. understand that she's an odd bird.
I mean,
we all know that.
She's a little.
I don't like people touching me either, but there's touching me, and then there's like rubbing my muscles until they feel better. That's different.
Yeah, but that thermal spa does that.
Okay,
with just water.
So George, you're about to become a spa guy.
All right, I give it a whirl.
Loungers and the saunas and the, you know, the hydrotherapy stuff. That's what you want to go for.
Yeah. I feel like this is I feel like this is a good time for me to point out that you are an independent contractor, and Outlander Travel is not paying for any of this.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
Look, George, I'll tell you my one little Alaska tip. I've never been, but I've done a lot of studying on Alaska. And the one little Alaska tip that I have that probably other people don't have is to try and rent a cabana on days that you are in, like Glacier Bay or sightseeing or whatever, because then you get to hang out in this really comfy area. It's usually separate from the other areas of the ship.
Oh.
And they bring you food and all that kind of good stuff. And you get to see all the nature. So that's
okay.
My one little tip for you.
That is a good tip.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
That would work really well, like on Princess in the Sanctuary. On Holland, they didn't really, they had cabanas for rent, but they were in the part, it was the pool deck that was still had the retractable roof over it. And then they had like the glass up. So it wasn't like you were outside, you know.
I think anything that's available to like that on the Radiance, which is what I'm doing next, like in 2020, is suites only. I might be wrong about that. I'm gonna have to look into that.
I don't know, but I think Princess has a really good sanctuary area.
I'm not on Princess.
My clients are going on the Nordam, and there were boats, there were cabanas to rent.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my...
Yeah, that's Holland America.
That's the one my parents were on, yeah.
All right, well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on Outlander Travel. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Lindsay, Laura, Sandy, and our newest podcast member, because he will be back.
Yay.
You will hear from him again and again and again and again and again, George. Thank you. And myself, Elizabeth. Thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.